This is Evan Dietrich Smith, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We were supposed to have a special guest joining us on the show this morning. We were supposed to have former Packers offensive lineman Bill Ferrario. When I tried calling him, I didn't get an answer. I left a message saying he can call us live on the show. He knows we're live on air. He knows we're trying to get a hold of him. I even saw him retweet one of my promotional tweets last evening. So hopefully he was just a little busy for a moment, and we'll get to that shortly. But anyway, for the time being, we got plenty to talk about, and hopefully that's Bill Ferrario right now. Let me answer the phone. Hello, this is Brian Caravu, and you're right now live on Cheesehead TV.
Brian, Bill Ferrario, how you doing?
Very good. Glad you could join us, Bill. Bill is a former Packers offensive lineman. And what led Bill to calling into the show today was an article I read that he recently wrote at NFLVR.com about his experience at the NFL Combine. And with the start of the Combine just a few days away, we want him to share some of this with our listeners. Now, Bill, you wrote back that when you participated in the NFL Combine, there was no such thing as live coverage of the event for hour after hour, which is quite different than what players today, and they know what to expect. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, you know, I think just from the nervous factor, you know, I had enough nerves going into the Combine, having to be in front of NFL coaches, scouts, GMs. Now knowing that it's on national television, there's a positive and negative. Like I said in the article, the positive is, you know, these kids in high school and early on in college are seeing all the drills that are taking place in the combines. The negative is, you know, not only are you performing for those teams, you're also performing on a national level. So everyone's seeing how good or bad your performance is at the NFL Combines, which is not an easy weekend or a couple days to go through out there in Indianapolis.
Now, another thing that surprised me in your column, you're not surprised that some players have bad workouts after staying up till as late as like 4 a.m., you wrote. Can you explain what players are doing to stay up that late at the NFL Combine?
A lot of it is just meeting with different organizations. I know, my two nights out there, I probably didn't come into my hotel room until I'd say about 2:30 in the morning was my latest night. One of my college teammates, his roommate, Leonard Davis, who was one of the big offensive tackles that came out in the 2001 draft, he, I believe, both nights came in at about 4 a.m. just because he had so many meetings, so many teams refused to stop meeting, and they just kept dragging it from one meeting to the next, trying to get as much face time with you as possible. So those meetings, you know, it's hard to say no to an NFL team when they say, I want to, you know, take 20 minutes to sit down and talk with you, when you know this is your one, you know, maybe your one and only chance to talk to this team and give them a positive impression on what type of person and player you could potentially be for their team if they draft you.
Well, let me ask you this. If you could give one piece of advice to athletes at the Combine this week, what would it be?
Compile it into two things. One, I think I prepare as much as I can with my agent or whoever's on my team helping me get ready for the NFL. Prepare in the sense, I think I'd be ready to take the tests. I'd have a plan on how I'm going to approach the tests, the interviews with the coaches and GMs, and then also just take a deep breath, take your time, go into it relaxed, and enjoy the couple days you have out there. You know, go out there where not nerve-wracking, where it's basically you're going on a bunch of job interviews. Enjoy yourself and remember the memories, because, you know, even though it is a stressful weekend, you know, it's one of those times that only so many people get to experience that and get to meet that many people out there with regards to the coaches and GMs, and have a good time, and, you know, I'd probably say wish them all the best of luck.
As a former Wisconsin Badgers offensive lineman, what can you tell us about Ryan Groy, current Badgers offensive lineman, or soon-to-be NFL offensive lineman, who will be participating at the Combine this week? What is he like as a player?
Well, I like him a lot. I think he's a very versatile, very athletic offensive lineman. And I think you can see over the last, 15, 20 years, offensive linemen went from the how big can we get a guy that's just very big and very strong to how you try to find that big player that's also an athlete. You want to have a guy that could play more than one position. You want to have a guy that, you want all your offensive linemen to have that ability to get out, to be able to get out, pull around the corner, and make a downfield block on the linebacker or a secondary player. So I think Ryan encompasses all those talents, and I think those talents are going to be showcased at the NFL Combine, and I think there's going to be a lot of teams showing interest in having him in the possibility of drafting him to their team.
We're talking to Bill Ferrario here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central this morning. Bill, because you're a former Packers offensive lineman, I wanted to ask you about that position group in Green Bay. What's your prediction on what's going to happen with center Evan Dietrich Smith in free agency?
You know, I would like to say that the Packers are going to keep him around. You know, the one big thing you want with an offensive line is you want consistency. And I think Ted Thompson and the Packers, they need to continue to bring in more offensive linemen and more offensive linemen with experience. The one thing I've been unhappy with in the last couple of years is our depth, that when an injury does happen, that we don't have that experience to go in there and keep things moving smoothly. So, in my opinion, I'd like to keep Evan Dietrich Smith on the team at whatever cost it takes, and I'd also like to bring in other experienced offensive linemen and not try and solve all of our problems through the draft.
Well, likewise, what's going to happen at offensive tackle? The Packers have David Bakhtiari, who had a very good rookie season, but they also have Brian Bulaga, who will be coming back from injury. Where do you see these guys playing?
You know, I think Bulaga is a heck of a tackle. I think his biggest issue in the NFL right now is being able to stay healthy for a whole season. It's not always as easy as it sounds, and I think that's a real problem that Brian's been having the last couple seasons. Bakhtiari, I've been extremely thrilled. I don't think you could have asked for a rookie offensive lineman to play as well as he did. I don't think Green Bay's had a rookie offensive lineman play as good as he has since Mark Tauscher back in 2000 when he had to step in as a rookie when Earl Dotson was injured. So knowing that you have that ability in Bakhtiari, I mean, honestly, I'd like to see both Bulaga and Bakhtiari on that offensive lineman. On that offensive line at the same time, and I'd like to see Bulaga healthy for a whole season.
Any preference as to who plays left, who plays right?
You know, I'd probably rather see Bulaga at left, but I think both of those guys have more ability than players did, like I said, 10, 20 years ago, being able to flip-flop. I don't think it's as big a deal. I think they've been used to it the majority of their career, and they're athletic guys. If I had to choose, I'd probably start off seeing how it works with Bulaga at left and Bakhtiari at right. But if it had to go the other way, I don't think it would be a problem for myself or for those players.
Because today is the first day teams can place franchise tags in the NFL, I just wanted to get your quick opinion on that. What are the odds the Packers use the franchise tag on a player like B.J. Raji or Sam Shields?
I don't think it's high. I think looking at our past, the way Ted Thompson has handled players, I really think because of that factor with how much he's put into the draft, I think Ted Thompson really needs to shock myself and us fans and do something different. And I'm not saying it's a free agent tag. My urge for Ted Thompson is to do more work in the free agent market. I think that's where, you know, I think, don't quote me on the stat, but I believe it's something like 48 or 50 of our players on the Packers teams was drafted by the Packers, as opposed to Seattle, I think, had 47 or 48 free agents that were not drafted by Seattle. So I'm not saying one way is 100% right and the other way is 100% wrong, but I think you need between draft the players that you coach in your system and teach them how you want them to play in your system. But then I think you also have to go out and spend some money in the free agent market and get a player that's on the upswing of his career and get him early and get him in to be productive with your organization.
Interesting thoughts. Before we let you go, Bill, these days you're heavily involved with Packer events, helping to book former Packers players with speaking engagements, golf outings, and all sorts of other things. Can you tell our listeners about Packer events and where they can go for more information?
Sure. You can go to packerevents.net, and it's basically a business to connect business owners, charities, and organizations with former and even now some current Green Bay Packer football players. As you said, anything from a speaking event to raise awareness for a charity event, anything like that, these players are willing to come out there. What I found was businesses like the idea and charities and organizations like the idea of having players at their events, but I think a lot of them, especially outside of the Green Bay area where a Packer player isn't as common, thought the cost was astronomical. And I think after speaking with us and going on the site, they start realizing that it's a much more cost-effective option to make your event even that much more successful than what a lot of people thought. So go to packerevents.net, give us a call, shoot us an email, and we can start the process on trying to find you the proper Packer player to be at your event.
Bill, we'll share that link with our readers and our listeners, and I thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's great to get your perspective on the Combine and other Packers topics. So thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
All right.
You have a great day.
You too. Take care. Bill Ferrario, former Packers offensive lineman, joining us here at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Like I said, great to get his perspective, a former Packers player's perspective on the Combine, all sorts of other things. And we got Bill's thoughts on the franchise tag, which is, I guess, where I kind of want to transition to from here, seeing as Monday is the first day NFL teams can start placing the franchise tag or the transition tag on players. This just starts the clock, basically. There is a deadline about a week before the start of free agency in which the tag would have to be applied. I think that date is something like March 3rd. So there's kind of a window open here that teams have to do that. And really, I mean, it's interesting just because, you know, if you place a franchise tag on a player, it's such a high amount of money and you're, you know, this player is definitely somebody you're building around. But really, it can only be applied to one single player. So, I mean, we're talking about a small, very, very, very small percentage of the entire team that this impacts here. But if there's two guys that might be a candidate for the franchise tag, it would be defensive lineman B.J. Raji and cornerback Sam Shields. And I'll tell you what, folks, the odds that they use it on B.J. Raji, I think, are decreasing by the day. Perhaps maybe over the course of the past season, they decreased by the day. At one point, you kind of thought that B.J. Raji was this centerpiece you would build your defensive around. But ever since the Packers won the Super Bowl and B.J. Raji had a terrific, terrific year that year, no doubt about it, dominating season as a defensive lineman. That year the Packers won the Super Bowl in 2010. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Anyway, you cut it. He was dominating. But since that time, it's been downhill. And this past season, it's been particularly subpar, I guess you could say. B.J. Raji making, what was it, 17 total tackles the entire season. He had zero sacks, not only this season, the year before that. And again, I realize that nose tackles aren't going to put up big sack numbers in the NFL, but my goodness, this is a former first-round draft choice. let's get a few sacks here and there. Let's see a little bit of playmaking ability here and there. And we just didn't see that from B.J. Raji this past season. As the report from Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel goes, the Packers reportedly offered Raji a deal averaging about $8 million per season, a deal that Raji declined and is now probably kicking himself. I can't imagine that offer is still on the table. And you know, the odds that the B.J. Raji comes back to the Packers at all are just decreasing all the time. And you know, what would you give Raji to stick around? Now, I'm not even sure you really want him to stick around. Of course, we talked about last week, big report from Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network that the Packers are looking to get more athletic, more versatile on the defensive line. And what does that mean? Well, that perhaps that B.J. Raji's days are numbered in Green Bay, and the Packers are looking to increase the roles of guys like Mike Daniels, Dayton Jones, things like that. So, basically, long story short here, the odds that B.J. Raji gets the franchise tag in Green Bay are rather slim, I would say. Now, one guy who perhaps his odds are even greater than Raji's, that there's a greater likelihood that this would happen, would be Sam Shields. And I'm not even sure that's a given by any means, or that it's likely to happen, but more likely than Raji, will say. With Sam Shields, I mean, the Packers don't want to have to place the franchise tag on him, and neither does Shields, for several reasons. One, that the Packers don't want to pay the type of money it will take with the franchise tag, which is, you know, expected to be like around $11.2, $11.3 million for 1 year. The Packers don't want to pay that kind of money to Sam Shields. Not worth that type of money. Number two, both the organization and Shields, both parties would rather have a long-term contract extension rather than just kind of this one-year deal where he's kind of in limbo for a year before you kind of go back to the negotiating table after that. So, I mean, this is kind of a last resort scenario here that you know, could happen, but everybody would like to avoid it if at all possible. Now, I've said this before. If Shields' agent, who is Drew Rosenhaus, who's known to be one of the, you know, hardball negotiators in the NFL, if he wants to play hardball and is not going to negotiate in good faith and is not going to give the Packers a chance, well, if he's going to be a jerk about it, the Packers can be jerks back and put the franchise tag on Sam Shields. Now, I don't think it'll work out like that, because both parties realize they kind of have a little bit of power, in each of their corners. You know, Drew Rosenhaus obviously has a talented safety who would generate interest on the free agent market. Exactly how much Sam Shields is worth and how much he's going to get, don't really know. But there would be interest in him. Other teams would sign him. And, you know, from the Packers' perspective, they have the advantage of perhaps placing the franchise tag on Shields. And as I've said before, you can't rule out the possibility of the Packers placing the transition tag on Sam Shields either. The transition tag has kind of become almost extinct in the NFL. It is not used very often anymore because teams do not get compensation if a player leaves. With the non-exclusive franchise tag, Players can still negotiate with other teams, but if they leave, they get like 2 first-round draft choices. Well, with the transition tag, even though it costs less money, which is the one reason why I think it could be an option for a guy like Sam Shields, the only recourse it gives the Packers is the option to match another team's offer. And maybe that's all the Packers really need if they feel Sam Shields is not going to get top dollar on the free market. I mean, if they believe Sam Shields is only worth, you know, $6 million per season, $7 million, and you know, maybe he doesn't want to re-sign with the Packers, but he's going to test the market. Well, maybe you put the transition tag on him and take your chances that he's, you know, going to sign somewhere else for less or something like that. So I'm not dismissing the possibility that the transition tag could be an option for Sam Shields. Although, like I said, transition tag, franchise tag doesn't matter. The Packers are going to want to avoid either option, Shields as well. You know, only as a last resort for the Packers would they place that. You know, I think they'd like to have Sam Shields back. He's played well for them over the years. But, you know, they don't want to pay him, obviously, $11 million per season. You know, I've seen estimates anywhere from $3.5 million per year to $8.5 million per year. Likely, I think Shields is going to fall somewhere in between, but it's hard to say. I think he's really dead set on testing free agency, getting to that point, seeing what he can get on the open market when teams start bidding for his services. All of a sudden, you got one team competing against another, and that just drives the price tag up higher and higher. I think that's what Sam Shields wants. I think that's what Drew Rosenhaus wants. It's not what the Packers want, but they don't really have a choice unless they use this recourse of a franchise or transition tag if he reaches the open market. And I don't know if the Packers can match another team. I don't know if there's a team out there that's going to be willing to pay Sam Shields, you know, darn near $10 million. Could he really get that on the open market? I don't know. It's tough to say. I don't think he's worth that much, but as they say, it only takes one. All it takes is one team out there to think, hey, he's one of the better cornerbacks in the NFL. He's worth $10 million a season. We're going to give it to him. And well, Packers would have to say sayonara then. But I mean, you know, if they do, if they say goodbye to Sam Shields, if they say goodbye to BJ Raji, at least the one thing the Packers have then on their side is they have a little bit of salary cap space then. You know, they're not spending these big time dollars on these guys. Maybe that's how the Packers can get involved in free agency, as Bill Ferrario on the show advocated just a few minutes ago. He thinks the Packers should be involved in free agency, should go and get some veteran guys from other teams who have been around the block before, who haven't necessarily been brought up in this Packers system. Thinks that maybe some new blood would be a good thing. That's one way to do it. You know, you decline to sign or you know, part ways with Raji, with Shields. Then all of a sudden you have some spending space. You have some salary cap space, some room to maneuver, some room to negotiate, to bring in some new guys. It could happen. We are still, you know, little less than a month away. Like we say, how does free agency work? You know, it starts basically March 8th in that there's a 3-day window there that agents can negotiate with NFL teams, but no contract can be signed until March 11th. No deal can be consummated until March 11th. So kind of that 3-day window there.
But then March 11th, everything starts. Contracts can be signed at that time. So that's kind of the time frame we're looking at here. We're still like, you know, what are we, about 3 weeks away from that start of free agency, and basically a 3 week window here in which the Packers can kind of come to a deal with Sam Shields, with BJ Raji here, come to a deal, come to a long-term contract extension with them before they hit the open market. Packers have exclusive negotiating rights with all their guys who are currently under contract right now. It isn't until March 8th that they could start negotiating with players from other teams, so that's kind of the advantage the Packers have right now. They can get deals done right now in advance of free agency, just a few weeks away. So that's where we're at right now in the world of the Green Bay Packers. So free agency a few weeks away. NFL Combine gets started this week. Actually, it's kind of weird. The NFL Combine actually, I think, gets underway on Wednesday. That's when players start to arrive in Indianapolis. Even though, and I think the public kind of doesn't realize this, because if you look at coverage on the NFL Network, you'll notice nothing starts until Saturday, actually. They don't do any television coverage until Saturday of the player workouts and things like that. So, but players are arriving days ahead of time because there's all sorts of other things that aren't, you know, that don't have to do with workouts and things like that. Things like the interviews with teams and the physicals that players take and meeting their media obligations and all sorts of things like that. So that all happens, you know, in the days prior to Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I think next week is how long the combine runs through and the workouts last. So, but yeah, so actually just 2 days from now, it gets underway. So that's what we'll be looking forward to the rest of this week. The Packers will be in attendance in Indianapolis. Mike McCarthy, Ted Thompson will meet with the media. We'll see what they have to say. We'll be tracking what's going on with all sorts of players and who are the Packers looking at, who might they be looking at, all sorts of those things. Just later this week, we'll be in Indianapolis, Cheesehead TV. I'll be there once again, also represented by our founding father, Aaron Nagler, here at Cheesehead TV. So we'll be there providing news from the NFL Combine later this week. We'll still have another episode of Railbird Central on Wednesday first. No episode on Friday this week because we'll be at the NFL Combine, actually. But we'll be doing another preview episode of the Combine on Wednesday. So make sure to tune in and join us then. But that'll do it for Monday's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show. And we'll be back again, as we are every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So we'll see you later, folks. On behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Kirvu. We'll see you later. I leave you today with a song called Mental Floss by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.